Let's start with prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that abides in us as your people, temple of God that is being built up to glorify your name in this world. And we thank you for the ministry of Reverend Cruz and for this book that he's written. And we pray, Lord, as we go through this book this semester, that you would help us to see the character of Christ and the glory that is revealed there. And especially, we pray, God, that you would create in us the character of Christ. May we reflect his character, the fruit of the Spirit in his life. May that be seen in ours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. The book is The Character of Christ, the Fruit of the Spirit in the Life of Our Savior. I apologize. I should have gotten this to you last Sunday, but I ordered the books too late, so they didn't come in. So you have them today, though. We're going through the introduction today, and we're going to spend about, we're normally going to spend a couple of weeks per chapter. And so that's going to be the pace, and that should carry us through past New Year's. So this will probably reach into January. And the beginning of February, so just to give you an idea. Jonathan Landry Cruz is a minister in our denomination, in the OPC. I believe he serves in, where is he at? He's in Michigan. He's written several books, a few books. This is one of them. He's also written a few hymns in our Trinity hymnal. So if you open your hymnal and you look at, there's a couple of hymns in there. You look, the author is this guy, Jonathan Landry Cruz. You can look up his name in the back of the hymnal and see which hymns he's written. They're really good hymns. So he's proven to be a great part of our denomination. This is a great book. So, well, let's get into it. All right, we're going to look at the introduction here. This is page 1. It's been a while. One of the reasons I forgot to order the books, because it's been a while since I've needed a book or needed to order a book. We've been going through biblical books for a while, and so it's a different format. So we'll see how this goes. I think this will be fine. We're going to read some quotes out of this book and talk about it. All right, so this is on page 1. If you look at the, you don't necessarily have to turn there every time, but I'll read these out loud. So he talks about the characteristics that are listed in Galatians 5. You think about the fruit of the Spirit, that you're thinking about Galatians 5, where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned. And he says on page 1, the Christian church has rightly acknowledged that those who have been born again and live in obedience to God will evince these characteristics in their lives. And so what are those characteristics? You might have them memorized, some of you: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That's from Galatians 5. And so the Christian church has rightly acknowledged that those who have been renewed or are truly Christians, these are the kind of characteristics that they should see in their lives. Now, I want you to hear this. It's at the bottom of page 1. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list, though that is often the way Christians interpret these verses. Our autopilot approach to this text is to assume that Paul is telling us who we need to be and how we need to perform. And if you're like me, that is how I typically think about that Galatians 5 passage a lot of the times. That is a spiritually torturous way to apply this text. He says, I don't know about you, but I consistently fail to live up to the high standard of these virtues. Is everybody familiar with Galatians 5, when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit? I just mentioned them. He just says that. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do you think that Cruz uses the phrase spiritually torturous? When you think about how people approach that text and they think it's a to-do list, what do you think? It's a pretty strong phrase, right? Why would that be spiritually torturous? What do you think? Alex? Yeah. Okay, because of our sin nature, it's impossible to do. Yeah, very good. Gene? Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, typically it's human to beat ourselves up. It's human to, so Alex said that our human nature is unable to perform those perfectly. It's our natural human nature to not show those fruit. And Gene said that we're typically, you know, if you're like myself, you typically do tend to beat yourself up. You look at scripture and that's how you approach it. You're like, I'm just not living up to this. And that is where that spiritual torture comes into. Now, if you're like me, again, we can take this list in Galatians and we can take that weight of it and place it on our backs, right? And you think, you look at that list and you think, okay, I need to be perpetually joyful. I need to be perpetually loving. I need to be perpetually at peace and full of peace and making peace and so on, right? Well, the reality, of course, like Alex said, is that that just does not happen, right? We know that we fail at these things. The reality is very different. We daily fail to reach this ideal, and so we feel the weight of our failures, and we tend towards despair, right? That's what Cruz is talking about here. But if you look at the context of Paul's words in that passage in Galatians 5, he talks about the Holy Spirit a lot. He says, walk by the Spirit. Desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. He talks about the desires of the Spirit. Again, we are to be led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is mentioned 7 times in that section where you see that list of characteristics, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And so we have to keep that in mind. I want to read this quote from Cruz on page 2. He says, we need to understand that there is a list of things that are done for us and in us by the Spirit. Or that this is a list of things. Galatians 5 is a list of things that is done for us in us by the Spirit. When we truly possess the Spirit of God, we will possess His graces as well. That is just one of the many reasons that Paul calls this list the fruit of the Spirit, as opposed to the accomplishments of the Christian, right? That's a great distinction, right? That's not what Paul says in Galatians. These are what you must accomplish in your life as a Christian. This is the fruit of the Spirit, meaning this is what the Spirit actually produces in Christians. Now, there's 2 things that were clear to me in the Galatians 5 passage. That the first is this: we're not alone in our fight against sin. It's not up to us, ultimately. The Spirit is with us, always. So again, it's not something that we accomplish, ultimately. Secondly, it's obvious, too, that we participate on a certain level. So you have all these mention of the Spirit 7 times in that section, but there's also very clear commands. Be led by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And so there's expectations on us as well, but ultimately we recognize there that the work is of the Holy Spirit. Our participation doesn't earn us anything. It doesn't win us favor with God. If you're more joyful than the person sitting next to you, you're not in a better standing with God necessarily in terms of, you know, your forgiveness of sins. We all have equal standing in those terms. And so our joyfulness, our peacefulness, our love, it doesn't earn us anything with God. And whatever we do exhibit, any characteristics that we do exhibit, are done in the power of the Spirit. They're done with the strength that the Spirit gives us. So again, ultimately, who's doing this? It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who produces this fruit in us. Okay, let's keep going here. I want to read a couple other quotes. This is page 2 and 3, and I'll stop for questions in just a second. Page 2 and 3. Let's see. He says this. Works cannot bring us into the kingdom of God. I warn you, Paul writes, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so he's commenting on that, on this passage in Galatians 5, and he says this on page 3. He says, so contrasted to the works of the flesh, works which can never earn heaven, we have fruit. Not our fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. These graces are produced by the work of the Holy Spirit, not by our exertion or effort. This is one reason why the Spirit is so frequently referred to as God's gift throughout the New Testament. And that's what you have in Acts. When the New Testament is being founded, it's being formed, what do the apostles tell people about how they're saved? Repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you has that gift. We all have the Spirit. And every single one of us will show forth these characteristics because ultimately of what the Spirit is doing in us. Okay, I'll stop there. So I really like how he begins this. We should not approach the thinking about the characteristics of Christ in regard to the fruit of the Spirit and how he shows them forth. We should not approach them as something that you know, we place upon our backs as a to-do list and that we can never accomplish, right? It's almost like we're observing what the Spirit does in us. Yes, Jeff. Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. So Jeff brings out the point that Cruz makes the distinction, or he does a comparison between what's written in Galatians 5, between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. And I'm going to skip this quote, but he compares the way Paul talks about what we do or what we attempt to do to earn God's favor versus what the Spirit does. What we do in the flesh, in the sinful flesh, is try to win God's favor, and we are only able to sin. We are only able to do that which is contrary to God's word. And so works in that section, it achieves us nothing less than condemnation, right? And so there's a stark contrast there. And actually, I'm going to talk about this a little bit in the sermon, the difference between the natural person and the spiritual person. So anybody want to follow up on that? Questions on that? Yes. Yeah.
I guess being a nurse in a nursing home, there are a lot of people that are just nasty and rude all day. And so that's why that was special to me, because how I want to always be kind. And so it's never occurred to me that I should be stressed by it. It's just reminders. You know?
Yeah, that's good. So you're getting it, Stacy. Very good. Yeah. And there's mean people. And other places too, not just the nursing home. So, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they do. And we're not always nice. You know, if you're like me, I'm not always nice. I know what I was like before I had the Spirit, and I know what I'm like now. It's two very different people. But you're getting it, Stacy. Yeah, you're getting it. And that, again, it's like we're looking at what God is creating in us. We're thinking about what God is doing in us and through us. And as we do that, of course, there's expectations for us, right? We don't want to fall back into the things that are contrary to the work of the Spirit, but it's ultimately what God is doing in us, yeah. Anything else? Very good. Yeah, Jean.
I just think about works. God told Adam he was going to plow the ground and deal with thorns and the sweat of his brow. And fruit is such a gift from a tree or a vine.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. So it's yeah. So opposite.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Fruit is, you can very easily think of fruit from a tree or, you know, fruit from the ground as a gift that the Lord gives us. So yeah, and that's exactly what it is. So you think about the prophet Hosea, and you think about the image of fruit, growing fruit from trees and plants. This is what God says: I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall blossom like the vine. From me comes your fruit. And so you have the image there of these luscious fruit-producing trees and other fruit-producing plants, like the grapes from a vine or what have you. And that's what we are. It gives us a picture of what God is doing in us. He produces fruit in us. And so I really like this. It's a great opening to this book. When I read the introduction, I found myself, I almost want to open the book and, you know, like kind of hesitantly and think, well, I know I don't do most of this, right? Like, this book is just going to show me how far short I fall when it comes to these things. But that's not how we're to look at this. This is something that God is doing in us, and they're there. You have them. The fruit is there. Believe me, the fruit is there. Like Stacy said, you recognize the differences when you're around other people who don't have the Spirit. The fruit is there. It's in us. Okay, well, let's keep going. So let's see where he moves on to the next section, which is the biblical and Christological background. In this section, Cruz talks about Adam failing to produce fruit in the garden. Israel also failed to produce fruit. So, of course, Adam failed. He sinned in the garden. He was to bear the fruit of the Spirit in the garden. He failed to do that. Israel comes along, and Israel as a nation is God's chosen son, his elect people, and they fail to produce fruit. This is on page 5. He says this: Israel also fails to produce the spiritual fruit that God is looking for. But a few chapters later, Isaiah makes a hopeful prophecy. There will come a fruit bearer. There shall come forth a shoot, and he quotes Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And immediately, he says, Isaiah connects this fruit bearing with the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Now, that was in Isaiah. And that's Isaiah prophesying about one who would bear fruit like he was supposed to, like Israel was supposed to, like Adam was supposed to. And who is that fruit bearer, of course? It's, well, none other than Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Cruz says. This is none other than Jesus Christ. And so one more quote on page 6. He says, therefore, there is really no better way to study these gifts and graces of the Spirit than to study Jesus himself. He is the one who was endowed with the Holy Spirit of God, whose every step was in harmony with the Spirit. And so when you think about the ideal, and often when we have that ideal before us of what we know we should be and what we want to be, and yet we fall very short of that, where do we find that? And we don't ultimately find it in us. There's one person who fits that ideal, and that's Jesus Christ. He exhibits that ideal perfectly. He perfectly and perpetually, in his life, in his work, and he continues to do so in heaven, he exhibited love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. There wasn't one point, in his life, in his thinking, in his desires, in his words, in his actions, not one point where Jesus failed to live up to this standard, to perfectly be joyful, loving, peaceful, kind, gentle. And that's what we're going to be looking at. That's the point of the book, to see the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus. So that's where this book should lead us. I hope we can get that. It shouldn't lead us to Gene, where we beat ourselves up, right? It should lead us to look to Christ and to appreciate what he's done and also appreciate and be thankful for what he's doing in us. He's making us like him. And so that's the point of the book. That's the point of this, our study, as we'll go through. I have a couple more quotes. We're making pretty good time. So normally, this class, we run to about 10:35, 10:40, 10:45, kids start roaming around and looking in the windows. So that's kind of the goal. And discussion can push us farther, push us back, depending on how awake we are or how lively we are. Well, I'll stop there. Any questions or thoughts on that? Yeah, Stacy, go ahead. Yeah.
So when you try to be nice to everyone, try to, you know, keep those good thoughts, then you don't have to feel bad every day about stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
And one time my daughter had gone to work with me, and a lot of people would say, "Oh, I love your mom. She's so nice," you know. And she commented on that outside. And I'm not trying to say I'm nice all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
And that was what I told her when we left. She's like, "Oh, everyone just loves you." And I said, "That just makes my days easier.
Sure.
I show up here free and I don't have to worry about hurt someone's feelings or."
Yeah.
Sometimes it is frustrating because people will not be nice to you.
Yeah, they don't return it. Yeah.
Still, you don't have to worry about that stuff. So.
That's a great point, Stacey. Yeah. Yeah, there's freedom there, right? And that's appropriate. That's normal. And I think it's safe to say that, you know, wherever this group goes, wherever you guys go, you have that effect. You may not see it. You may not always experience, but it's there, I promise you. People recognize the fruit of the Spirit in people to one degree or the other. And so it's there. You have an impact in this world as Christians. And there's freedom there. I can think of my life as an unbeliever. You're enslaved to sin, and you're left always with the collateral damage that you leave behind by whatever you say and do or don't do, all those things. Yeah, I mean, we still do that as Christians. We still fail, and but we're always moving forward, and the predominant work in our life is the work of the Spirit, and there's freedom there. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yes, Carolyn. Absolutely.
Not always.
Yeah. No, good point. Yeah, there was times when Jesus was angry. Jesus called Peter Satan at one point. There was a reason for that. So God is love, to be sure, but he's not only love. That love is to be understood in relation to his justice as well. He's also holy. And so he has to contend with sin. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if Cruz talks about those moments in Jesus in the book. But we can be sure that those moments that he was angry, like you said, it's righteous anger. It was an expression of God's justice, his holiness against sin. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Jeff.
You made a statement, and I think Cruz, she came from the book, that as Christians, we have the fruit of the Spirit because it's the Spirit's fruit that's empowered in us. However, it seems to me as I go through this list,
yeah.
I'm a Christian. The Holy Spirit is guiding me and in me, but I don't, it's not dropped on me the fruits, you know.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a sanctification process.
Yeah.
Carolyn can tell you that I'm not there yet.
Absolutely. We're talking about our sanctification. Sanctification is a process. Yeah, I didn't see Carolyn put up a big fight when he mentioned that about yourself, Jeff. So, it's the same for me, too. You know, for those of us who are married, our spouses know full well, you know, how short we fall sometimes. Yeah, Carolyn.
Well, we talk about fruit, it always starts out as a bud, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Blooms into this beautiful flower.
Yeah.
So we can fruit that way or flower.
Sure, that's exactly right. That's actually, I was thinking of that. You know, you look at, for those of you who have gardens or, you know, your yards at home, there's a struggle there, right, with the things you plant, with the grass. I look at my front yard. I wish the Lord would just airdrop perfect grass, you know, on every corner. You know, there's parts that are great, and then there's other parts like, come on, you know. So that's like us. Yeah, there's a process there, right? There's a struggle there, and that is part of our struggle. We haven't yet. That is part of the way in which we suffer as Christians. That we have not yet reached glory. That's part of our suffering. That we haven't yet reached the destination for which we've been set. So, very good. All right, well, let me finish off. We're almost done here. So that section had to do with Christological background. So when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, it's ultimately fulfilled and exhibited perfectly in Jesus Christ. And if you think about the Old Testament, that's where the Old Testament was headed, this perfect fruit bearer who would come, the Messiah. Now, this last section, he titles His Spirit, Our Spirit. I'm going to read this from page 8 and 9. He says this, "One of the glorious twists of God's story of redemption is that the Spirit of Christ becomes our spirit. Jesus has not kept His companion to Himself, but has generously poured out the Spirit on His people." In that same page, he says, "As we reflect on these familiar words in Galatians 5, consider that they are not God's demand upon you." I'm going to read that again. "They are not God's demand upon you, so much as they are His declaration to you in Christ." And I think Stacy is really getting that point with what she's saying. It's not so much a demand on us as Christians as it's a declaration of what we are in Christ and what He's doing in us. And he goes on to say on page 9, he says, "So Paul says that at the end of this list that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Past tense. You are no longer what you were before. You've crucified those old sinful desires and passions. "The Son of God has put an end to the sin that would separate us from God. And by His Spirit we can and will bear fruit. the very fruit God has been looking for all along in his children. Then he says, since the fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list, this is not a how-to book. This is a he did book. This is a he is book. Make sense? So it's a book not about what we should do ultimately. It's not a list of chores for us. It is what Christ has done already. And it's what he continues to do in us. Now that, in my mind, that is freeing. That's true freedom right there. And it frees us up to be and do the very things that we're called to be and to do, knowing that it's ultimately not us who does them. It's someone else. And so, again, we're not alone. The helper has come. This is 1 Corinthians 3. We'll get there eventually in the morning series. This is what Paul says to the church. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? This is who we are. The Spirit dwells in us. He's producing fruit in us. I've got a couple more quotes, just two more quotes from the book, from this introduction. But I'll stop there again. Any comments or questions on that idea, the fact that we have God's Spirit? Yes. Sure, yeah.
How much, you know, you try to get rid of certain things, they just spring back up.
Yep.
And there's really nothing you can do about it short of like completely changing, you know, the
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Put turf in. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. Yeah, great point. Yeah. So Josue is talking about what he sees on his land, and you know, for the Israelites, hearing the words like from Isaiah about the stump of Jesse, these are agricultural people. They see these things all the time. It would have connected with them very easily and quickly. Maybe for us, it's a little less so because we're not dependent upon the land necessarily like they were. We don't see it in the scope that they did, but we see it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you you have hopes and dreams for your trees and your backyard and your plants in your gardens, and you see all kinds of different things happen to them, winter storms and drought and whatever it may be, and you see them wither and come back to life, and that's what happens in us, yeah. It's a good picture of what happens in us. I think everyone knows full well that we can be hit with storms out of nowhere, right? And it can cause all sorts of things to happen in our lives as Christians, but ultimately the Spirit will do his work. He will. He gains victory. He has the victory, the Spirit does, over all these things. Yeah. Anybody else? Any thoughts on that? Good point. That's Ben.
Philippians 1,
yeah.
So
Yeah, a little bit.
Doesn't
seem to be. Right. Very good. That's a good point. Yeah. So, yeah, we can be frustrated at times, you know, like I am with my front yard, right? We can be frustrated like that about our lives as Christians. You know, why do I do that? Why do I keep doing the same thing that gets me in trouble every single time? And yet, you know, and so we can tend towards, like you said, Ben, you know, complaining against even God Himself, the Spirit, and it's like you said, that's a futile endeavor, right? Now there's mystery there. I think Ben brings up a good point. There's mystery there. The Scripture clearly says that it's the Spirit who's doing this work. It's Christ who's doing this work in us, and yet we're participants, and so we're responsible when we don't live up to these things. You know, we're responsible for the choices we make. But ultimately, we are not bogged down by our failures, and we don't carry this heavy yoke that we just can't bear. Trying to do the things we've been called to do, we don't bear that yoke on our own. It's the Spirit who does it. So, there's mystery there, how those things interact and happen all at once. We can't fully comprehend, but that's what takes place. Okay, well, let me read two more quotes and then we'll be done. This is page 11 from his book. Page 11. This is the last paragraph that he mentions in this introduction. He quotes John Owen, which is an English Puritan writer, very famous Puritan Reformed writer. He says, Owen is telling us that if we want to change, we need to see Christ and savor all of his goodness and glory and beauty. Therefore, my hope and prayer is that in the following chapters, you will come to know and adore the very fact that for you and for your salvation, Christ came down from heaven and was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And now in grateful obedience, you may be these things for him. So you see there his goal in this work. Like I said before, this book is not meant to direct you to yourself necessarily and to look at all the ways in which you're not what you want to be. It's meant to direct your eyes to Christ. And once you fix your eyes on him and continually fix your eyes on him, that's where we start to see change. That's where we start to see the fruit of the Spirit exhibited in our lives, which it already is. It's already happening. All right. Any final thoughts or questions on that? Yes, Shara. Go ahead. Yeah, good point, or good question. It's a good question. So the question is, what's the purpose in producing this fruit in us? What's the goal? And you said something else. What was the second part? Right, very good. Yes, so I think you're answering your own question. So what's the purpose of producing fruit in us, and what's the function of that fruit in this world? And you said to bear witness to unbelievers, to show them what Christ is like. And that is exactly right. That's part of the function. The fruit we produce ultimately brings glory to God, right? It will glorify Christ. You glorify Christ by your fruit. You don't necessarily bring glory to yourself. The Spirit in you is bringing glory to Christ. He's showing others in the world what Christ is like. So that would be the overarching purpose, why God is doing the work in us that he's doing, to bring glory to himself. while we live in this age, it's exactly like you said, that fruit draws people to the Christ who's working in us, right? God is still drawing people to himself. And how does he make what we believe in attractive? He does it through people like you. He does it through Stacy at the, you know, at the nursing, is it the nursing home you said, or the hospital? Nursing home, yeah. Wherever you've been placed in this world, he's doing that through you. You may not see it, but it's happening. So that would be what my answer to that. Okay, very good. Well, we'll get into again, two lessons per chapter is the plan. So we'll get into chapter one. I will send you. I can send you the reading ahead of time. You're welcome to just read chapter one, but we're just going to look at half of it. So if you have any questions or about the book or need another book, just let me know. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ, who is the perfect fruit bearer and who is displayed before us in Scripture as just that, the one who has perfectly and perpetually borne the fruit of the Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would keep our eyes fixed on him, that we would be made more like him, that you would be glorified in us, and that you would use what you're doing in us to draw others to yourself. Father, we pray that you would prepare our hearts now for worship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all very much.